right. Take your Bibles tonight, please, and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We're talking about this psalm. I came to the pulpit that first day. Well, when the Lord spoke to my heart about the psalm, I thought I was going to preach through the psalm in one service, and that didn't work out too good, did it? We ended up on one word, I believe, for a while. And then last week, I think we dropped down to that, serve the Lord with gladness. And tonight, I want to talk about His presence. Let me see if I can quote it again. I hope I can. Let's see, how does it start? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Let's see. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Let's see. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. So tonight, what I'd like to do for just a little while is talk about His presence. The Bible said here in that second verse, I believe it is, come before His presence. I really believe tonight, as we look at this, I really believe tonight that it's one of the things that we're missing, both privately and corporately in our worship, is just acknowledging God's presence. How many knows what it means when a preacher says something like this, or someone maybe says, the Lord showed up? How many knows what it is to, you're in your prayer time, and how many knows the difference between a routine and the Lord shows up? Amen. And I think one of the things that goes on is we don't magnify His presence the way that we should. We don't seek His presence, to dwell in His presence, in that secret place of the Most High, the way that we should sometimes. So that make a joyful noise, we got into that ruah, and that shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. We talked about last Wednesday night how that, as I look at this, Brother Don maybe could help me. He's studied, I know. But I'm looking at this like these first three verses are outside in our worship of the Lord, in our service of the Lord. And then it looks like enter into His gates. And He said, when He says, make a joyful noise, I don't believe we need to wait till we get to church to do that. He says, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. I told you about a sign I saw over the back door of the church. It said, on one side, it said, enter to worship. And on the other side, it said, depart to serve. The average Christian today thinks that coming to church is serving God. And I believe we come to church to worship God. And we go out there where we live and where we work, and we serve the Lord out there. But it talks about come before His presence here, and it says with singing. I'm not going to say a lot about the singing tonight, but I want to say some things about His presence. The first thing I see here is a request or an invitation to come into His presence. I want you to think about this tonight. I want you to think about who invited you and who invited me to come into His presence. He said, come. Come before His presence with singing. I want you to think about that little word. He says, come. I want you to come. I want you to come. I've had some invitations in my life, but nothing would compare with the invitation of a holy God that the likes of Him would invite the likes of me into His presence. That's humbling tonight, amen? to know that we're welcome and he invites us to come. The Bible said in Psalm 95 verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now, I've said this before, and I think it's true. At least I've witnessed it many times in my Christian life. There are two things that really just seem like cause the Lord to show up, and that is a spirit of thanksgiving and a spirit of giving. When you get a thankful people, I know just when we bowed at Thanksgiving, and my brother-in-law had just had surgery, Eddie had just had surgery, and I asked him, I was still coughing and hacking, I asked him if he would ask a blessing. But just to bow your head and begin to thank God, it really magnifies his presence. And the Bible said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In Psalm 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence. Now, we're invited into his presence. When you and I were lost, God still had a word for you and I. He said, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. God, listen, that ought to stir us up tonight, amen, to think about when you and I were lost without God, the God of heaven looked down and said, come on now. Now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Isaiah 55, verse 3, God said, incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I believe that in our worship, in his presence, that it ought to just really thrill our hearts that we received an invitation from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come into his presence. And I appreciate that, don't you? And then in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, and you could take this, I think, both ways, whether it's talking about a sinner or a saint. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many's ever experienced that as a Christian? You just carried the load so far you couldn't carry it any further. And then you realize, this is kindly foolish. The King has invited me to come. He wants to help me with this burden. Amen. He wants me to lay it at his feet. And he said, come unto me. Now, there's a request to come into his presence. The Bible talks about it here with singing and a joyful noise, a sacrifice of praise, if you will. Jeremiah 33:11 said, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. You see, they brought the sacrifice of praise. The Word of God said they brought it in to the house of the Lord. I think that's what I'm trying to get at. Amen. In other words, didn't come in here and find it. They brought it in with them. Amen. To the house of the Lord. They had been in his presence out there, and so that magnified his presence in the corporate worship. In Hebrews 13, the Bible said, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God every Sunday. It said continually. That's what it said. Continually. Every Wednesday, huh? Continually. Every revival meeting. No, that's not what he said. The sacrifice, I believe one of the reasons the Bible uses the word sacrifice, there's nothing in the flesh that wants any part of this. Say amen. It's that new man that Brother Joe sings about. Took off the old coat and put on the new. Amen. It's that new man. You can only praise God in the spirit. The flesh has nothing to praise God in. Amen. The Bible talked about the Lord is good, and his sacrifice of praise continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The Bible talked about in 1 Chronicles 16, the trees of the wood shall sing out at the presence of the Lord because he cometh to judge the earth. I don't know about you, but I'm not real good at singing. But I tell you what, Monday, over and over and over and over again, I believe I almost know the words now to the song, Do You Know How It Feels? When your cold heart is melted, the tears ran down the moment you felt it. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I didn't get over it Sunday night. Say amen. All day Monday, over and over and over. I even think I sent out a few text messages. Amen. Thank God I can go back to a place in my life where my Lord lifted me out of the muck and the mire. And it thrills my heart that the likes of him wants the likes of me in his presence. Amen. I love him. I thank God for him tonight. Now, he said here in 1 Chronicles 16, then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord because he cometh to judge the earth. I want you to think about this tonight. You and I that are saved by the grace of God should have a longing tonight, a longing for home. The Bible talks about, and I don't know where this is going to come out, but sometime through the Christmas season, I believe, I'm meditating on this and thinking about the hope of our calling. Amen? And think tonight about the change that's going to take place when the curse of sin is done away with and we have a new body and we're made like unto the Son of God and there's nothing to hinder us anymore. It's going to be a blessed time. Well, even the Bible teaches even the trees of the field will clap their hands. The whole creation groans and travails and wants out from under that curse. Amen. And even the trees are going to sing praises. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No. I read it in the Bible. That's my God's mind. Amen. It's right there in the Bible. And so I see tonight, first of all, when we're talking about the presence, the Bible said, come before his presence with singing. I want you to think about the request to come. God said, come. I'm inviting you to come. Come into my presence. And then I want you to think about this tonight. There's a reverence in his presence. I think there's something that's missing today. Say amen. I don't believe you come in his presence talking about the old man upstairs. Amen. Or my buddy. God, me and God's tight. Stuff like that. Amen. It's irreverent. I believe there's a reverence, amen, when you come into his presence. And the word of God said, glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. The Bible said in Zephaniah 1:7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. And he hath bid, there's that invitation again, his guest. The Bible said in Psalm 114, verse 7, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, the God of Jacob. And Nahum, at chapter 1, verse 5, said, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Think about that reverence tonight. I'm going to read from Revelation in just a moment, but I believe a good one to talk to tonight about his presence would be John. John said, I was exiled on the isle that is called Patmos. I wasn't put out there, beloved, for stealing. I wasn't put out there for taking somebody else's wife. I was put out there for the Word of God and for my testimony. Amen. Guess what? Way back yonder, they hated the Word of God, and they hated the people of God's testimony. Talked to a man yesterday. I'm going to ask God to help me win that man, the man that designed that sign over there. I sat with him at the computer, and we changed some things, changed a few things around. I said, sir, do you know Jesus? He said, my mom and dad do. He said, I'm an agnostic. That's what he said. And I tell you what, tears welled up in my eyes. I said, sir, you need the Lord. And I'm asking God, amen, to help me, Brother Ralph, amen. Listen, we don't have these encounters with people in this walk of life for no reason, amen. God, if God didn't have anything else in mind, that'd be all right with me, just to win somebody to God in Abingdon, Virginia. Turn them from an agnostic to a worshiper of the living God, amen, to a child of the living God. The Bible said in Revelation 1:9, I, John. How many knows that mom and dad that's saved is praying for that boy? Guarantee you they are. Revelation 1:9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a reverence in his presence. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Boy, I like this. I can't help it, amen. Boy, if anybody in the world had a right, so to speak, that's what's wrong with this generation now, too many rights. Say amen. Anybody in this world had a right to be out of sorts on the Lord's day. Lord John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know what I believe? I believe Joseph was in the Spirit in the pit. I believe he was in the Spirit in Potiphar's house. I believe he was in the Spirit in the prison. And I believe he was in the Spirit up there in the palace. Say amen. Everywhere he went, the Bible said the Lord was with Joseph. And here's John, exiled for the word of God. But what's going to make the difference? The presence of God. The presence of the Lord. The Bible's, I'm talking about that reverence. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I walked up behind Sister Joy a while ago and said something. She jumped plumb out of her skin. I said, they say people jumpy ain't living right. That's the truth. We got a deacon needs to get right. I can tell you that right now. You walk up behind Ralph Roberts and say boo and see what he does. Amen. I'm just kidding her. Amen. Kidding Brother Ralph too. The word of God said here, heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first, the last. What thou seest, write in a book. How many's glad John wrote her down? Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, unto Philadelphia and Laodicea. He said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like undefined brass that they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun that shineth in strength. And when I saw him, listen, John didn't say, come over here, old man, I want to talk to you. Hey, what the Bible said. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. I don't know about you, buddy, but I long for the day just to fall at his feet. I've tried to thank him for over 30 years, and I'm still falling short. I long for that day to fall down there and maybe thank him like he ought to be thanked and praise him like he ought to be praised. I believe we ought to practice on the way, but I believe it'll be perfected on that day. I believe we'll give him perfect praise, don't you? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. His presence, a reverence in his presence. He laid his, oh glory to God, he laid his right hand upon me saying, I don't know this, but I believe John might have been trembling. He said, fear not. Say amen. That's what he said. He said, fear not. He laid his right hand upon me saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. There's a reverence in his presence. I know tonight that God's people, how many enjoy His presence? You know what will keep you from enjoying His presence? Listen to me tonight. You say, preacher, how you know? You'll figure it out. Sin. That will keep you. Oh, you say, preacher, I ain't done nothing wrong. What have you done right? To him to know that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. There's sins of commission. That's things you do you shouldn't do, and I do that shouldn't do. But there's things of omission. Sins of omission. And I believe that many people are good at pointing out the sins of the flesh, adultery and drunkenness and stealing and thieving and all that. But I tell you what I believe. I believe envy, strife, jealousy, sowing discord among the brethren, hands that shed innocent blood. I believe, beloved, listen, I believe the sins of the Spirit will keep you from enjoying the presence of God just as well. Amen. Can have the outside all cleaned up, look just like a Pharisee, but the inside's not right. We're not going to be enjoying the presence of God. Give me this quickly tonight. I talked about a request to come into His presence, talking about God's presence for just a few minutes this evening, a reverence in His presence. But I want to think about a reflection in His presence. How many believes that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? James, I believe it's James, that teaches us looking in this book is just like looking in a mirror. I've said this. I don't believe that you and I will ever be any closer to God than we are to this book. This is the way that we hear from God. Then we turn around and pray, and God hears from us. And what a blessing that is. But there's a reflection I want to talk about in His presence. I'm not going to go over there and read it tonight for the sake of time. But if you go to Isaiah chapter number 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw also. I believe that's important. I believe for the first five chapters in the book of Isaiah, that the man of God, the prophet, all he could see was what was going on around him. And he kept saying, woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Brother Dewey was preaching yesterday, Brother Don, about them hound dogs. I'm telling you what's truth. He's a mess. He was teaching us about them the terminology and that coon hunting and all that stuff. God spoke to my heart. God got a hold of my heart. I had to testify a minute or two. But he talked about them dogs, how they'd put them paws up on that tree. He talked about how them dogs sometimes would fight one another. He talked about how them dogs sometimes would what they call face bark. I've heard of Facebook. I never heard of face bark till yesterday. Amen. In other words, instead of barking up there at that coon that's up there in that tree, they're barking at one another. I tell you, God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. If we take our paws and put them on that tree, you know what? Brother Rose, we wouldn't have time to look at one another. We wouldn't have time to bark at one another. We just want to praise the one. Now listen, he's not on the tree. But I tell you what I believe tonight. You and I should never forget that we're the ones. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. You and I are the ones that should have been hanging there. And he took our place. We should never get over that. Never, ever get over that. There's a reflection in his presence. When Isaiah saw also the Lord high and lifted up, it was no more woe unto them, but it was woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The Lord said, Whom shall I send? Who'll go for us? Isaiah, having a good look at himself and a good look at his Savior, he said, Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. It's a blessing. The Bible said that no flesh should glory in his presence. I believe when we come into his presence, that keeps the flesh in check, don't you? That we know that it's not about us, Sister Tina, the song you sing, it's all about him. It's all about him. What a Savior we have tonight. There's a reflection. The Bible said in Job 23, Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I'm afraid of him. I believe tonight when we look in that mirror, the mirror of his presence, it'll help us just like it did Isaiah. There are those tonight, and I'm coming to a close here in just a minute, maybe a few minutes. But anyway, I see in the Bible several examples of a resistance to his presence, where people didn't want to be. Goes along with what I said a while ago, sin will keep you from wanting to be in the presence of God. Do you remember Genesis 3:8? The Bible said they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. I'm going to share with you some scripture in a minute. But this really is a futile exercise. I'll show you in the scripture. You can't get away from him. He knows where we are. He knows what we've done. He knows what we need. Genesis 4:16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod. Jonah 1:3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Did Jonah get away from him? How many's done figured out God runs faster than you do? He already knows where you're headed when you take that first step. The Bible said he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You go away from the presence of the Lord, you're going down to Joppa, down into the ship. Jonah 1:10, the men were exceeding afraid, these men on the ship, and they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Let me just say this to you tonight. You're not walking in God's presence, it won't be long, somebody will know it. They'll pick up on it. Especially people that are close to you. I'm glad I have a wife that's close to me. I'm glad I have a wife that can look at me sometimes and say, What's wrong? Help me. Oh, there ain't nothing wrong. Yeah, they are too. These men knew that Jonah had fled from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 139, listen to what he said. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. God's people, listen to this now. I'm talking to God's people. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I say this tonight. That touches my heart. He said he would never leave me. He would never forsake me. He said he would go with me all the way. And I believe tonight with all of my heart that ought to bless us as the children of God. One last thing, and I'm finished tonight. This goes for those that are outside of Christ. And that is what I called a removal from his presence. There's coming a day for people that do not receive Christ, that reject Christ, when they will be removed from his presence. Listen to what the Bible said in 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, listen to these words, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, listen to these words, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. While God's people are being ushered in to the presence of the Lord, there are going to be those that will be ushered out of the presence of the Lord. That ought to break our hearts tonight. I sure hope it's not one of my grandbabies, don't you? That hears the Lord say something like, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. That ought to make us want to get in his presence. That ought to make us want to be more like him. That ought to make us want to serve the Lord with gladness. Make a joyful noise. Come before his presence with singing. Warren Wiersbe said this. I thought it was good. He said, true biblical worship so satisfies our total personality that we don't have to shop around for man-made substitutes. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say that's what's going on in the religious world today. Man-made substitutes. Pump up the flesh. Come in sinning, feeling good about it. Leave out sinning, feeling good about it. Boy, I like a Bible that won't leave me alone sinning. Say amen. I like a Savior that won't leave me alone. The Spirit of God. True biblical worship so satisfies our total personality that we don't have to shop around for man-made substitutes. William Temple made this clear in his masterful definition of worship. He said, worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of conscience by his holiness, the nourishment of mind with his truth, the purifying of imagination by his beauty, the opening of the heart to his love, the surrender of the will to his purpose. And all of this gathered up, remember this word, I read it a while ago in the scripture, admired in them that believe. All of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy for that self-centeredness, which is our original sin and the source of all actual sin. Self-centeredness. I want it. What did Hebrews say? There's pleasure in sin. What's the next three words? For a season. Season's short, ain't it, Brother Gary? It's short. May God help us tonight to come before His presence, to sing in His presence, to shout in His presence, and to serve in His presence. I don't know how this fits other than the Spirit of God spoke to my heart when I was preparing to preach. Miss Eve, I can remember one time. I didn't say it only happened once, but I can only remember one time. That I was on the ball diamond. Brother John, we went and watched Chance pitch and play ball a little bit last fall. I can remember one time I was in Little League. I was out there on the pitcher's mound and I caught the ball. And I looked back there behind home plate, Brother Ralph. They had just a little old basket behind home plate, you know, the little cage. And my mom was sitting in the bleachers. I had a good dad. Don't you get me wrong. My dad worked from daylight till dark, would shave, get something to eat, go work till 11:30 at night. And this Eve will tell you, all the time, trying to raise six kids. All I'm trying to tell you is that this, it made a difference playing ball in my mama's presence. Brother Ralph, I wanted to give it my all. I wanted to hit it as far as I could. I wanted to throw it as hard as I could. You say, preacher, what kind of curveball did you have? Didn't have one. My philosophy was in Little League, they cannot hit what they cannot see. They didn't know if it was going to hit them or hit the catcher's mitt, but it was going to hit something back there. I just haul off though as hard as I could. But what if tomorrow morning when we got out of bed, we realized there's somebody that loves us sitting in the bleachers. He's actually sitting on the throne. And He is paying attention. Somebody help me tonight. What if we heard Him say, don't start the day without coming into my presence. Help me tonight. Come on. Come on into my presence. How many's lived it both ways? You got up and you got in His presence. Then the other way, you get up and maybe you're late waking up. Maybe you feel like a tractor and trailer run over you and then backed up. And His backup beeper didn't work. You didn't even know it was coming back. How many's with me tonight? Somebody said, well, I don't have time for that. I can't afford that. I really believe it'll be a happy day in our lives when we realize we can't afford not to. We need to get in His presence. How many's glad you come tonight?